I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Genesis. And the 6th chapter. Genesis chapter 6. I'd like to begin reading in verse 5. When I sat down and started outlining this message tonight, I came up with 5 points, but I'm only going to preach 2. Maybe we'll look at the others some other time, but just want to read a few verses for you tonight, beginning in verse 5. The Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." I want you to look at verse 9, just gives you a little bit more on Noah. It says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." I want to speak to you tonight a message that I'm going to entitle, "Living Right When Everything Else Is Wrong." Living right when everything else is wrong. Let's pray together. Now, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the beautiful music we have heard tonight. Thank you for Christian getting baptized. And Lord, thank you for the testimonies that we have heard and how thankful we are that souls can still be saved in this wicked age in which we live. And Lord, if we would just share the gospel with people, the gospel will do the work and souls will respond and be saved. Yes, there are those that will say no, but Lord, there's plenty that will say yes if we would just realize that people need the Lord. And Father, I pray now that as we open the Bible and as we preach from this passage of Scripture, that Lord, you will bless our service. Lord, bless the message that I'm about to deliver. We need to realize that it is possible to do right and live right, even in the midst of a world that is just like it was in the days of Noah. And Father, we have the ability to do right. And so I pray you'll just challenge us in that area tonight and help us to stand and live for God no matter what the rest of the world does. And Lord, I pray that we'll realize that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. And Lord, this ought to bring joy and anticipation to our hearts as we realize that we're living in days just like Noah lived. And Lord, you promised to come when the world got as bad as it was during Noah's day. Well, we're here. And so we look forward to that day when we will see you face to face. So Lord, bless now and help me as I preach. And give spiritual ears to every person that we may hear what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. The Word of God furnishes us little information about Noah and his family. Noah appeared on the scene of Scripture when he was 500 years of age, leaving many questions about all those years before he appeared on the scene. 500 years of history. You say, Pastor, how in the world could these people live as long as they did? Well, you've got to realize that this was back at the beginning of creation. And you've got to realize that the effects of sin did not have the effect upon mankind like they do now. And the veil that was over the earth protected man from the sun's rays. And so men lived longer back in Bible times. After the flood and the veil was removed, we find that the lifespan of man began to get smaller and smaller until now the lifespan of man is around 72 years of age, which it has been for a long, long time since the effects of that veil that covered the earth was melted by God to help create the flood. Now, while there may not be a whole lot recorded about Noah's first 500 years, we can speculate about some things concerning his earlier years. For instance, we know that he was the descendant of believing ancestors, and that his father and his great-grandfather and his great-great-grandfather were all three God-fearing men who loved the Lord and walked with the Lord all of their lives. His grandfather's name was Methuselah, who lived longer than any man in the Bible. Noah was the great-grandson of a fellow by the name of Enoch. And all of us have heard of Enoch. We're told that Enoch was the man who walked with God and who, without dying, one day was taken right off of this earth and into heaven to be with the Lord. Billy Sunday used to say that Enoch and God were out walking together one day and were having such a good time that they lost track of time. And Enoch said, "Oh my, look at the time. I better get home. My wife is going to kill me if I'm late for dinner again." And God said, "You'll never make it back in time, Enoch. Why don't you just go home with me?" And he did. And the Bible says that Enoch was not, for God took him. Now, the period of time in which Noah lived, we know a lot about it. I just read it for you, beginning in the fifth verse and reading down through verse 13. It was a dark day, it was a difficult day, and it was a dangerous day. But in the midst of all this darkness, spiritual darkness, in the midst of all this difficulty, and in the midst of all this danger, we read that Noah dared to be different. Living for God in Noah's day would have been a difficult thing to do, don't you think? I remind you that Noah had no Bible to read. He had no church to attend for fellowship and encouragement. He did not have a soul winner's club where someone trained him how to win somebody to Christ. He did not have a monthly NFL meeting where he could go and get some instruction and encouragement on being the right kind of Christian dad. But yet we're told that Noah lived for God. Noah shows us that if a man wants to live right and do right, even in the midst of depravity, it can be done. It is possible to live for the Lord when nobody else is living for the Lord. It is possible to live right when everyone else is living the wrong way. Noah did it, and it ought to be a challenge to us that we can do it as well. It may not be easy, but it can be done. And I know that it can be done because it's recorded for us in Scripture that Noah did it. I know we live in a wicked world. There is so much temptation and so many different areas where we can slip and fall into one of the devil's lairs. This everybody's doing it mentality seems to be a reality, and we often find ourselves saying that to excuse our unfaithfulness to God. But even in this wicked age in which we live, we can live right and we can do right if we just will. Now, there are a few things, just two things, that I want you to notice about Noah and the world in which he lived. The first thing I want you to notice is found in verse 5, and I want to just boldly exclaim that he faced godlessness. There was nothing but godlessness all around Noah. Noah lived in a world without law, and certainly one without repentance. Men were always at each other's throats. As you read these verses, you see that is so. Thinking only of themselves. They did what they wanted to do, and nothing got in their way. Evil was ruling and reigning in the hearts of men, and men were glad to have evil ruling their lives. Yes, Noah lived in a godless world. And the Lord knew exactly what Noah was facing. God saw what was in the hearts of men that were on this planet. God knew that men were rebelling against Him and against His authority and against their conscience. And God knew what was in the hearts of men. God was aware of the temptations and the trials that Noah had to face. And folks, I want you to understand that God knows what we have to face. God knows what all of us have to deal with. And I want you to notice that God was grieved over what He saw. Listen to the Word of God now as it tells us about the wickedness of Noah. There are three or four or five things here that I want to point out to you that God tells us about the wickedness in Noah's day. The first thing that we see here is that it was common. In the first part of verse 5, look at the first part of verse 5. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." First thing I want you to notice about this godless era in which Noah lived is the fact that it was common. I mean, the Bible here tells us that the wickedness of man was great. And I did a little check on that word, man. And this is a reference here, not to an individual, but this is a reference rather to the human race. God looked upon the earth and He saw mankind as living a wicked life. And it wasn't just one here or one there. No, men everywhere were living godless lives. You see, this godlessness was not something said of a few, but God said it about all of mankind. It was common. When Adam sinned, mankind, all of men became sinners. We inherited the sin nature from Adam. And it did not take long for sin to contaminate the hearts and lives and affect everyone that was on the planet. Let me tell you something, folks. Nothing grows as fast as corruption. Nothing grows as fast as corruption. The farther one goes downhill, the faster he goes. Sin, by its very nature, continues to corrupt and spread its devastation into every area of our being once we allow it to enter into our hearts. Sin is not satisfied with part. Sin wants it all. Sin is not content to stay where it is. It has to continue to just get worse and worse and worse. And brethren, that's exactly what is wrong with our country today. Oh, it all started back years ago when all of a sudden churches were hiring liberals to come in and be their pastors. It all started years ago when we sat back and let Mad Lady O'Hare get prayer thrown out of our public school system.
It all started years ago when preachers started criticizing the Bible instead of believing the Bible and preaching it as the final authority for faith and practice. Amen. We've just gone downhill since. And so don't be surprised at all this corruption that you're seeing our country faced with today. I mean, it was common, and it's common today. Second thing I want you to look in verse 5, I want you to see not only it was common, but I want you to see it was complete. It was complete. Not only was man's wickedness great, but the verse goes on to say that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What is God saying here? Oh, this is a tremendous statement. A tremendous statement. Let me show you what he's saying. God is saying that every type of evil was was committed without even a second thought. There was no conscience. There was no conviction. There was no guilt. He is saying that every type of evil was committed without even a second thought. Let me show you something. Look at the word imagination there in verse 5. This word imagination comes from the Hebrew word that is the root word or the root association for that is related to pottery. Remember the sermon a couple of weeks ago about the potter's wheel, and we're the clay, and God is the potter, and He's working in our lives? Well, this word imagination is the root word that is the root of the word for pottery. As the potter, listen carefully now, as the potter tries to shape the clay into a certain desired object, the people of Noah's day tried to shape their world by their corrupt thinking. That's exactly what we're seeing going on in our society today. Vile in thought, they poured out their wicked philosophies upon others and tried to reshape the abnormal into the normal. And this is exactly what liberals and what humanists are doing in America today. We are seeing the days of Noah being replayed right before our very eyes. Liberals, religious, political, and social, doesn't matter which one you are, if you're a liberal, it doesn't matter whether you're religious liberal, political liberal, or social liberal, liberals hate the Bible. They hate Jesus. They hate the truth. They hate the church. They hate the rule of law. And that is why you are seeing liberals all over our country today take the law and throw it aside when the law is contradictory to their corrupt way of thinking. That's liberalism, folks. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's religious liberalism, social liberalism, political liberalism. Liberalism is liberalism. So what they do in the church is they take the Bible and lay it aside and say, we don't believe that anymore. Here's what we believe. They take the Constitution and political liberalism and they lay it aside and they say, here's what we think you ought to believe. And instead of following the rule of law, and instead of following truth, liberals cram their falsehood down our throats. That's why they can take the law and throw it aside when the law does not fit their corrupt thinking. For example, do you remember when Clinocchio lied under oath and perjured himself before a grand jury? Do you remember that? What happened? They had an impeachment hearing. And they went from senator to senator. And they asked them, vote yes or no for impeachment. And every one of those liberals who had the majority at the time, every one of them voted, do not impeach him. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you think that you could lie to a grand jury and not have to pay the ultimate price. Not a one of you. Especially if they found out that you were a Christian. Especially if they found out you were a fundamental Christian. Especially if they found out that you attended the Church of the Open Door. Well, that's where that Haynes guy goes. That had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with Larry Haynes. That's just one example. The liberals in Congress who had the majority of the time said, it's okay to lie. This is a personal matter. This is a personal matter. It's no big deal. Why you people are making a big deal out of this? Let us tell you how you're supposed to think. Don't worry about the Constitution. Don't worry about the rule of law. It doesn't apply here because we're liberals. We tell you how to think. And this is why the people of California can vote on the matter of homosexual marriage in a statewide proposition a couple of years ago. And by the vote of the people, they said, here is now the law, homosexual marriage is illegal in the state of California. That's the law. But some liberal mayor can say phooey on what the people have voted and phooey on what is the rule of law. They're a bunch of morons anyway. They just don't understand things. So here is the way we're going to do it. Go ahead and let the homosexuals marry. And the rule of law gets shoved aside. I wish I could have been the governor of California when the first license was issued. I would have proclaimed an edict, and I'd have had that little skinny thing arrested in a heartbeat for violating the law of the state of California. You see, folks, that's what's wrong with our country today, and that's what's wrong with our society today, is that we have thrown God out. We've thrown God out of our lives. We've thrown God out of our churches. We've thrown God out of our schools. We've thrown God out of our government. We have just decided we don't want God anymore. And that's nothing more than liberalism at its core. And we wonder why we're in the mess that we're in. Well, we're right here with Noah. The immoral minority is telling the moral majority how to think. And they're dragging their philosophy around and cramming it down our throats. And you say, well, Pastor, I mean, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? I'll tell you one thing you ought to do. You ought to go to vote Tuesday. That's one thing you better do. And you better pray, but another thing you better do is you better make sure that all of this, and listen, it's nothing more than a plan. It's nothing more than the scheme. It is nothing more than the devil's way to just keep bombarding and bombarding and bombarding until finally we just throw our hands up and say, we quit. You can have it. That's exactly what they want us to do. Let me remind you that Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. I want you to listen to what Paul said to the church at Philippi. Turn in your Bible for a minute over to the book of Philippians. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Look at the 8th verse, please. Philippians 4:8. Everybody got it? I'm going to wait till you got it because I want you to get it. All right, look at verse 8, please. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, what's the next word? True. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are, and whatsoever things are of, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what's the next word? Think. I read that this week and I thought, wait a minute. Why didn't he say do? If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, do these things. And I sat there and I thought, why did he not say do these things? Instead he said, think on these things. And then it hit me. Paul knew that thought always precedes the act. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The difference between good men and bad men is the way they think. For we will then do as we think. And so what's happened in our society in the last 50 years, we have let the liberals take God out of our lives and take the Bible out of our lives and take the Bible out of our churches and take God out of our schools and God in the Bible out of our schools and God out of our government. We have allowed the liberals under the leadership of their leader, the devil, we have allowed this to happen, and now today we are simply seeing the fruits of thinking on the wrong things instead of the right thing. It's nothing more than harvesting what we have been sowing for the last 50 years. Does that make sense to you? It was complete. It was common. It was complete. Number three, it was continual. Look at the last part of this verse. It said the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You see, evil thinking and doing was not something that was just temporary. No, this was what men had become. This was what mankind had become. Then look one more. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. It says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Not only was it common, not only was it complete, not only was it continual, but it was cruel. You know, folks, we're living in a cruel society today. It's a shame the way we treat one another. I'm not just talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians treating one another. It's just a shame. It was cruel. The world was not only filled with people that had corrupted thinking, but it was filled with people who were shameless in their acts of violence one toward another. The world was filled with anarchy. Their hostilities knew no limitations and knew no hesitation. But they did what they wanted. They did what they wanted when they wanted. They did what they wanted when they wanted and how they wanted. And there was no restraint upon mankind. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? I mean, folks, we're here in the days of Noah. We're here. You say, well, Pastor, I'm all discouraged now. Well, wait a minute. Look at the 8th verse. Look at the 8th verse. I said, first of all, my first point was he faced godlessness. But the second thing I want you to see was he found grace. You see, in the midst of godlessness, God is still on the throne, folks. He found grace. Noah lived in a time when doing wrong was what everybody did, but he was not carried down with the crowd. It is possible to live for God when everyone else is living for the devil. It is possible. Even in the midst of the most awful of circumstances, the grace of God can be found. Grace is available, and it can be found if you know where to look for it. You look for grace towards God. The man who looks for a way to do right will not be overlooked, nor will he be unaided by God's grace. Noah wanted to do right, and God enabled him to do right. God gave him the strength. Now, in doing right, he showed the world around him a couple of things. First of all, he showed the world a radical difference. I want you to look at that 8th verse again. Notice the break here. Notice the transition here. It says, he's talking about mankind on the earth and how wicked everybody is and how bad everything is. And God said, you know, I'm even sorry that I created that sorry bunch down there. And in the midst of describing how wicked and how terrible everything is, the Bible says, but Noah. But Noah. Notice the transition. But. This word is one of stark contrast, folks. This word put here is to describe and to mark a difference between Noah and the rest of society. Men in the world were corrupt, but Noah was different. He wasn't like everybody else. In the midst of a seething and frothing and corrupting mass of people, Noah dared to be different and stand up for what was right. Let me tell you something, Christian. God calls us to be different from everybody else in this world. We are a peculiar people if we know Christ is our Savior. We're different than the rest of the world. And let me tell you something. Now buckle your seatbelt right here because it's going to get rough for a few minutes. I don't care if the whole world goes to see Mel's movie. I don't go to movies. And I'm not going. I mean, listen, I don't care if every church in Carroll County goes and buys the theater up and goes to see it. I made my convictions 30 years ago that I'm not going to support an industry that is run by liberal heathens who hate the Bible that I love and who hate the Savior that I love. And listen, just because this particular movie is about Jesus doesn't mean that the movie industry, that Hollywood has all of a sudden gotten fundamental and is going to start living for the Lord from henceforth now and forevermore. If I want to learn about the sufferings of Jesus, I've got four books in here that tell me about it distinctly. They're called Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If I want to find out about Jesus from the Old Testament, I'll go to Isaiah 53 or I'll go to Psalm 22. And I have seen the trailer on TV. I have seen him nailed to the cross. And let me tell you, it's not anything near what the Bible describes. You can still tell from the trailer that they're showing on TV, you can still tell that it's a man that's being hung on that cross. Isaiah said that they beat Jesus to where you couldn't even tell that he was a man any longer. So, this is about Jesus. All right. No, it's not. This is about convictions. This is about right and wrong. This is about taking a stand and being different from the rest of the world. You say, well, I don't like this preaching. Well, somebody's got to stand up and tell you what it's about. And folks, this is what it's about. It's about God's people being different from everybody else in the world. And I'm just going to volunteer the Church of the Open Door to be different. And all four of you that are going to stand with me on it, God bless you. You know, we don't preach on this much anymore. Well, I do, but you don't hear it much. But I believe with my whole heart, and I've preached this before so you can loosen your belt, the one reason why our society today is so corrupted and why so many people today think and do so much wickedness is because of the millions of people that go to the movie house every week and bow to the gods of Hollywood. We are reaping today a generation that has been raised on Britney and Madonna. We are reaping a generation today that has been raised on Adam Sandler's vulgarity. And the first time you hear one of your little ones come out with one that they learned off of Adam Sandler, you should not be shocked by that. You were the one that plopped them down in the movie theater to see it to begin with. But Noah. Noah said, wait a minute. I'm not going to follow this corruption. And he stood and he was different from everybody else. And he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When the rest of the world perished at the judgment hand of God. This is where this philosophy that we're seeing today, this is where it's bred in Hollywood. Are you listening to me? I'm not trying to be hard to get along with. And listen, you go back and check the record. I'm not preaching to you anything different tonight that we all didn't believe 25, 30 years ago. We all believed what I'm preaching right now 30 years ago. When we're not over at the movie house, we're down at Blockbuster 4 and 5 nights a week getting babysitters for our children. Go watch a video. Go watch a movie. Well, we turn on Hell's Box Office for them. That's HBO. Go watch a movie. Go entertain yourselves. And that's exactly what they do. And then you wake up when they're 14, 15, 16 years old, and all of a sudden, your little old sweet child is gone. And you can't figure out what happened to them. And so you drag them down to see me, and say, well, preacher, I just don't know. I guess the church is failing us. Oh, really? Is that a fact? So it's the church's fault. Well, yeah, you know, we've been looking around. Probably a lot of you going to be looking now, aren't you? Well, we've been looking around. We just don't think the church is meeting our needs. Look at our kids. And you blame the church when we offer so many things that you could get your children involved in. You know, every one of these activities that this guy has ought to be packed to the hilt. They ought to be packed to the hilt. Joshua's sick today. He's home, can't hardly talk with a cold, but every activity he has. We went down to Baltimore Rescue Mission the other night. And he didn't have a handful of kids. Not a handful of kids. Every kid in this church should have been here and gotten on a bus and went down to the Baltimore Rescue Mission. Oh, if we have a trip to what's that theme park down there, that thing on 95? What? I don't know. Six Flags. There it is. I knew that didn't sound right, George. You run around the wrong place. See, I want you at the altar when I finish preaching, all right? Now, you better get up there now, yeah. Oh, if we'd have had a trip to Six Flags, why, it'd have had 150 kids out there. But to go down and sing to the rescue mission people, you see, folks, we sit around, and we put the emphasis on the wrong syllable on so many things, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. It's no wonder our society is so wicked. Let me tell you something. I stand up here 4 times a week, 8:30, 10:45, 7 o'clock, and Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. And every time you come in this doors, I tell you, open your Bible. Is that not right? There's not been one time in 9 years, not one time, that you've walked in here and I've said, open your encyclopedias. Not one time have I ever said, open your Reader's Digest. Not one time have I ever said, open the Carroll County Times. It's always the same. Open your Bible. And I stand here for 40 to 45, okay, 50 to an hour, and I preach to you the Word of God. What am I doing? I tell you what I'm doing. I'm trying to get this truth transferred into your head. Why? So you'll think right. Why? So you'll do right. That's why I tell you, you ought to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Because the more truth you get, the more thinking you're going to do, and the more doing you're going to do. Now, you think, here's Hollywood, and they make their movies, and they put them on discs, and they put them on videotape, or they put it on digital and show it down here in the theaters. And we take our youngins, and we take our children and we sit them down in front of this, and I want you to know that the devil is preaching his philosophy to your children just like I stand up here 4 times a week and preach God's philosophy to your children. It's the same principle, only on one side you got the truth and on the other side you got filth and wickedness. And it's no wonder that our society is thinking like it is and doing what it's doing. If you listen to Hollywood, you'll think it's normal for people to curse. If you listen to Hollywood, you'll think it's normal for people to smoke dope. If you listen to Hollywood, you'll think it's normal activity for people to drink. If you listen to Hollywood, you'll think it's normal activity for people to commit adultery. I mean, if you listen to Hollywood, you're going to think like Hollywood thinks. You say, but preacher, this movie's about Jesus. Wait a minute. You're missing the issue. We're not talking about that. We're talking about doing right when everybody else is doing wrong. And it's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. Did you hear that? That's old Bob Jones Senior philosophy, but man, is it good. It is never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. We're just supposed to do right. So that's why I don't go to movies. That's why I don't go. And just because this one's about Jesus, that doesn't change the fact that I don't go to movies. And I don't intend to start just because Mel made a movie. A radical difference. But Noah. One more thing. Now you know why there's only 2 points to this sermon. I don't think you could handle much more than 2. The second thing, he found grace. First thing he showed the world was a radical difference. When he found grace, he showed a radical difference. Second thing, when he found grace, he showed a remarkable discovery. You see, grace wasn't something that everybody was experiencing. You'd be amazed at the number of people that I run into and they're miserable. They just can't handle things. Sin has just ruined their lives, ruined their homes, and they're sick of it. There are people that are sitting right in this room tonight, and if it were not for grace, if you had not gotten saved, who knows where you would be? A remarkable discovery. Noah found grace. Where did he find it? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Folks, that's where you're going to find grace. You remember me telling you that a couple years ago that the Bible says that Israel is the apple of God's eye?
You remember what the apple is? Before you were married, when you were in love, you sat at that restaurant, and both of you leaned across the table and you held hands, and oh, your heart was pounding, and you looked at her. And she got close, and you got close, and you're this far from one another. And when you can look into that person's eyes and see your reflection, that's what the rabbis called the apple of your eye. Noah found grace. And he wasn't watching the world, and he wasn't involved in what the rest of society was doing. No. He found grace when he got close enough to look into God's eye and see a reflection of himself. That's how God wants us close to him, Christian. That's how God wants us close to him. And when you find grace, it's a remarkable discovery, and it'll make a difference in everything you say and everything you do. Let me tell you something, folks. We're living in a wicked world. Man, if anybody knows that, I know that. I deal with it every day back here in this office. I deal with it on the telephone. I deal with it person. I deal with it in people's homes every week. Just about the time I say I've heard it all, I realize I haven't heard it all. It's amazing what we can get ourselves into. It's amazing how we can mess things up. Yes, it's a wicked age. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In this wicked age, God, though noble, who will stand up and think the right things so that they can then do the right things. You can live for the Lord in this evil age. You can do right if you will think right. And the way to think right is to get your thinking right. And the way you do that is by getting yourself saturated in what thus saith the Lord. This is your truth right here. This is your truth. Doing right when everybody else and everything else is wrong. It can be done. Noah did it. Let's pray.